I suppose maybe in other places that isn't true. My sense is that, how would I describe it? There is, in this incident, I've already seen among my own friends, people that I personally, you know, feel very fond of and who are fond of me, I have already seen how they have taken sides in ways that would affect me. They don't even realize that they're saying what they're saying. But they're letting the genie of their personal fears and hatreds out of the bottle already in various ways. And I have a feeling that anti-Semitism will come to the fore, as well as anti-Arab feeling. I have a feeling that along with that, there will be the rich against the poor. There'll be the white against the colored. There'll be men against women, and vice versa. There'll be all the various ways in which people despise each other for their differences may very well come out of the bottle, just like a genie of the devil. Just as, imagine the devil were a genie contained in a bottle of political correctness, the cork safely on the bottle, and everybody willing to abide by the rules of keeping your mouth closed and not saying hurtful things. My sense is that this outrage that we just witnessed will begin to let the genie out of the bottle. The cork will come out. And people will be more willing to speak their feelings, and in that, there'll be a certain rawness and redness and rage that will show itself. And that will give the opportunity for those who do not wish that to happen to speak their own mind, in which case there will be those people who take the road. Like, take, for example, this business of what do we do now as a nation? Oh, we have to hit them with something. It's absolutely necessary that we show our strength and pound somebody over the head, because otherwise we'll be perceived as weak. This was exactly the statement that was made today by Reverend Floyd Flake, who is a major pastor, a black pastor in New York City, who has a lot of influence on the community here. And he was asked what his opinion was, and he said that, you know, it was necessary to bomb somebody, basically, or to do something in the way of military, you know, work, because we had to. And somebody said, well, isn't it the Christian thing to turn the other cheek and to love your enemies? And he said, well, you can't do that. You got to show, or people will think you're weak. Now, this is coming from a black man of the cloth. Very strange thing to hear as a public statement from such a person, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is that sense of the need to show our anger, our hurt, our pain, our refusal to accept, defeat, and all those things will make us inflict an equal or greater harm on anybody that we can find to be responsible. And the finger of blame will be pointed everywhere by everyone all at the same time. Once that cat's out of the bag, I don't see it being put back in.
Our national testosterone.
Yes, exactly. And not only ours, but everybody else's as well. Do you think that the testosterone of the Arabs is ever going to be put back in the bottle?
No.
Never. Do you think the Israelis are going to be able to sit back now? It's war. Open and clean. No more political correctness. No more saying, well, we only really want to live in peace, if only you would let us. No, no. A good friend of mine pointed out today that the whole basic reason for the shape that we're in is because men eventually came to power in a world where women had once ruled. And if women were only where they were supposed to be, in the true order of things, this would never have happened. And it's basically all men's fault. And this was said with considerable bitterness in my presence. And I've heard other things of a similar nature on other levels of discord. And I don't know if you've noticed that yet. You may or you may not have. Maybe it's only New York. I don't know, because we're the epicenter of this thing. But I suspect that you'll see more of it. I was in a restaurant today, and there was a waiter who was a very nice man, basically, and has become sort of friendly because we go there a lot. And he kind of was willing to talk to us as a human being instead of simply somebody serving us our dinner. And he said, basically, bomb the shit out of somebody. Got to do it now. And I said, but you know, he was of the opinion that we should undertake to eliminate, to literally kill, by any means necessary, everyone who is known to be a terrorist.
But that makes it so much more noble. than the people that bombed us.
Of course. Well, the thing is that as far as he was concerned, it was necessary to do this and it was justified to do this. And I said, but you realize that there are billions of people out there from whom these terrorists are drawn, and there's no lack of able-bodied young men to take their place. Well, I don't care. We got to do it now. So, common sense, an understanding of your enemy, a realization of why it would be that somebody might hate you, and a willingness to let each person be who they are, even if they're not likable. The possibilities of spreading oil on the water instead of inflaming it. The possibilities of drawing or invoking the cup of grace as in the Four of Cups, instead of refusing it and sitting with your arms crossed stubbornly and refusing to have it. There will be people on both sides of that line, and I have a feeling that the people on the aggravated side of that line will make much more bluster, much more noise, and be, at least initially, more dangerous. But remember Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King. Those forces are powerful too, and they're actually capable in the long run of subduing the forces that wield clubs and guns. But you need an awful lot of courage to do it. Now, my sense is that the battle lines will ultimately be drawn between those two groups, the people on Gandhi's side of the line, you know, and the people on the club-wielding side of the line. And that will be where the final war will be fought. Not the final war, but that will be where certainly one war will be fought, based on accepting or rejecting the new understanding that comes from how powerful the forces of hatred are in the world right now.
Well, can I just interject something that I received on the internet? From
sure.
Gandhi? Not from him personally, obviously.
Yeah.
But from Mary Morrissey, and I'll just repeat it. When we are confronted with darkness of any kind, as our world witnessed in the attack on the United States, it is very tempting to believe in the power of the dark, as if it could overcome the light. I ask you to join thousands of others of us right now who are calling forth the lights of God's wisdom and guidance to prevail among the leaders of our world and in all of us. I am reminded of Gandhi telling the world, my religion is truth, my practice is non-cooperation with evil. We do this by refusing to believe in the power of the dark and continually reminding ourselves of the power of light to overcome all darkness. Then we look for how the light, God's guidance, is directing us to take part in revealing the light on planet Earth this very day.
Yep, that's essentially it. And you know that our leaders are responsive to the constituency that they serve, even though supposedly the constituency doesn't have much power in the ordinary scheme of things. If the government were to feel that everybody in the country were up in arms, angry and hurt, and wanted immediate retaliation, those figures in the government who had the power to accomplish that and who might feel the same way would feel empowered and even have the, what do they call it, a mandate to go out there and kick the shit out of somebody.
They may anyway.
But there would be more hesitation and more circumspection in doing it, and possibly a little bit less enthusiasm and not quite such an intensity if the general population were not in the of a mind to do that. Now, I'm saying that having lost nobody that I know got hurt or died. I have no financial stake, not that I know of yet anyway, and I have no financial stake in that particularly, except in the general havoc that it wrecks on the country's economy and stuff. I mean, I was supposed to go to Chicago tomorrow, and that isn't going to happen now. The World Tarot Congress was canceled, so that's one effect that it has on me, I guess. And that will have a ripple effect on the Tarot Festival the next year, possibly a disastrous one, so that could have a personal effect on me. But I have no urge to go out and kill an Arab. I don't even have any urge to go out and kill a terrorist at this point. I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe there's something wrong. I don't know. But there's an awful lot of people who do, and I also don't really wish to suddenly find myself in as an enemy to everybody that doesn't think the way I do. And that's my fear in this. And my sense in with the Three of Cups was that in the process of understanding, each person will draw his own lesson from this. There will be a difference, just that you can't tell what the difference will be with each person. But my sense, yeah.
May I say something?
Sure, please.
Well, I don't know if you remember our conversation from today, but yesterday when I drew my card for the day,
right,
that's the card that I drew out, the Three of Cups.
Right, I remember.
And I was so surprised to see what was going on, and I wasn't able to really understand that card, but I have found myself in situations such as, you know, you have, and it's been so uncomfortable to the point where I started to wonder, just like you said, what is wrong with me, that I don't feel like going out and killing someone.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody around me, you know, have manifested desires to either join the army to go bomb the Arabs or, you know, do something about it, taking matters in their own hands.
Right.
And, I mean, I've been praying and meditating all day since yesterday and, you know, trying to stay calm, but when you are surrounded and you almost feel pressured to say something, you know, what is, you know, so that they can get into an argument about whether you're right or wrong. So, in, you know, this is like turning into a question. In meditating upon the Three of Cards, I mean, on the Three of Cups, can we do what you recommended, you know, with that Queen of Pentacles, carry it with you, look at it, and meditate on the positive
now,
side of it?
You know, the guys, I just mentioned this to you, I did a reading with Ruth Ann for Myosotis on Monday. This is before, of course, any of the events that we're talking about happened. And it was a personal issue, and it involved a one-card reading, which involved the Queen of Pentacles, and it had an effect on Myosotis. It was an important card, and so she's asking this question of carrying it with and meditating on. Sure. Every one of the cards in tarot has the power to inform, the power to predict, and the power to change. You can learn from it, you can see the future in it, and you can accomplish actions with it. All those three things, and you can do that with every single card. So if you pull a card, whatever card you pull in response to whatever question you ask will give you those three abilities: to predict, to understand, and to do. And if you carry the card with you and focus on it, you'll be doing what in magic is simply called attention. You'll be giving the power of your attention and infusing that card and its meanings with all of your personal power. That's why you would carry it with you if you were going to do it.
So it's to predict to what, I'm sorry?
To predict, to understand, and to act.
And Walt, tell me very quickly, is the Queen of Pentacles a good card?
Oh, the Queen of Pentacles is a lovely card.
They're all good cards.
They're all
she
good
just
cards.
Brought that one up because that was the card that came up in her reading.
No, but I'm asking because I haven't had the time to pull a card for myself in months.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been very busy with the move and everything else.
Right.
But about two or three nights ago, I said, okay, because I have a meeting, a very important meeting coming up in 2 weeks, for which I have no clue as to what I'm going to say, none.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pulled out three cards, you know, like past, present, and future, and the future was the Queen of Pentacles.
Uh-huh.
And I asked, how am I going to do with this meeting? Is this going to be like, you know, my looking for a new job? What am I going to do? And then I got the Queen of Pentacles. But of course, I really don't know how to read the tarot. It's like I'm very, you know,
well,
a beginner.
I want you to know that I don't know how to read tarot either. I just do the best I can.
But I looked at the Queen of Pentacles and I said, I hope this is a good card.
Well, you know what? When, let me think for a second, what would be a good example? Let's say that you want to peel an apple. And you take a knife, which is a nice sharp paring knife, and you peel the apple. Well, the knife can be considered to be a good thing. You used it to peel an apple. You used it to do what you wanted it to do. But let's say along the way, while you were peeling the apple, your attention slipped for a moment, and the knife slipped, and it cut your finger. All of a sudden, the knife isn't such a good thing anymore. Now it's a bad thing, because it cut you. So the knife can be a good thing, or the knife can be a bad thing, depending on more or less on what happens to you with it. So no card by itself is good or bad. You can use the tower, you can use the devil, you can use death to your advantage. You can enjoy the consequences of it. It can be good for you, or you can take something like the Ace of Cups, which is normally seen as a wonderful thing, and it can turn out to be a bad thing for you, depending on you. You are the one who makes it good or bad. You are the one who makes it profitable or unprofitable. Your actions, your thoughts, your feelings, your understanding is what make the card good or bad. People don't seem to get that. But if you've got that one thing, if nothing else came out of this lesson or any other, that would be more valuable than anything else I could think of telling you. And so you can take the Five of Cups and make it into a power for good.
So how can you say, when you ask us to do the exercise, to predict something, if the card is really not predicting, because it's really up to us?
Oh, no. Well, first of all, there are some things that are up to you. As a matter of fact, I would say this. As far as I understand this business of time and the future, the one thing that is up to you, the one thing that you have in your power at all times, regardless of what's happening around you, you have the power as to how anything will affect you. When something happens, you can be sick, you can be angry, you can be frustrated, you can be loving, you can be sad, you can be happy, you can see good things or bad things. Those are all internal. Those are all matters of your perception and the growth of your own heart. So you can take anything that comes at you, a tidal wave, an explosion, a bombing, a war, an insult, anything that normally you would think of as contractive, something that makes you smaller, nastier, harder, tougher, angrier, sadder, whatever. And instead of it being that, you can use your own response to whatever happens as a way of growing, becoming more loving, softer, more light. So your response is everything. From that point of view, you control the goodness or the badness of whatever comes to you. The events themselves, the actual physical or other kinds of events that come at you, are usually thought of as karmic. You're simply going to have to deal with whatever you're going to have to deal with, and there's not much you can do about it.
Interestingly enough, yesterday was the 11th day, which is the Justice card, which is karma.
That's right. So anyway, here we are actually faced with this business of something karmic that happened, something that came at all of us unexpectedly and uncontrollably. And yet from it, we can deduce, we can see, we can perceive the future in terms of our response to it. And you can see easily how you could respond. Any one of the cards could give you either what could be called a positive or a negative reading. People will either see or they won't see. They'll either love or they'll hate. They'll either ride the roller coaster of these events safely, or they'll get overwhelmed by them. They'll either be cynical, or they'll get on with life and do the best they can with what they have to work with. All of those are possible. That's the continuum of every card. There's two ends to every stick. So no matter what issue you're talking about, no matter what prediction you come up with, it always has an opposite possibility. Which end of those possibilities happens, as far as your personal life is concerned, you control. It can be good or it can be bad for you. And you can, to some extent, guess, make a really good, educated guess as to how large groups of people will react in the same matters.
Lowest common denominator, I think someone said.
Yeah. Well, the lowest common denominator is what the world of big business, the world of government, the world of large numbers usually works with. The people who act to control and to reduce everything to its lowest and most miserable common denominators. They expect that human beings will act on their lowest instincts. And most of the time, they're right. But you, personally, do not have to do that. You, personally, do not have to be affected by the evil of such an assumption. Nor does the person next to you. And if you, personally, were to recognize the higher denominator, the higher possibility in the person standing next to you, like the character in the Four of Cups, you might evoke from that person the grace that's in them. If you approach a person with fear, anger, and hatred, you will evoke exactly that same thing from them. Then there's no guarantees. But guaranteed this, you can certainly make a bad matter worse. You don't necessarily have the power to make a bad matter better, but you can make it worse. And if there's going to be any good coming out of this at all, it would depend on at least a fair number of people confounding the experts and acting on their best natures instead of their worst ones. So if you take a look, this suit that we're working with is the suit of the heart. And it's in the heart that these decisions are made, not with the mind and not with the body. It's made with the heart. And when I ask you to make a prediction based on the cards of the heart, it's your perception of what you think you and the world will do. How will you react? How will this affect you? How will it affect them? And how will all of you together affect the world? And it's your guess. And based on the card, you can actually get an instinctive feeling. I mean, we're talking about a prediction here. We're not talking about a guess. And a prediction is based on a strong inner voice that tells you personally, this is the way it's going to go. Now, there's no way to know why you say that. There's no way to know for sure by common sense or reason or any other thing that a prediction is going to come out a certain way. That's the intuitive. And the intuitive is connected directly with the spirit. That's a wands thing, by the way. So you're exercising the power to go directly to the truth when you do a prediction. Because the cards themselves contain all possibilities. So when you look at the card, whatever card you drew, and it evoked from you a personal feeling, a reaction, a response, and that response opened up a gateway to whatever divine power actually arranges things the way they come out, that opening of the heart is what will give you the possibility of a real prediction. This is the way it's going to be, says you. And the clearer and cleaner and more open your heart is, the more likely you are going to be able to prophesy. We're not just talking about prediction now. This particular issue is a kind of prophecy because it involves issues so huge to the human race as a whole and to you in particular. So the issue of the heart becomes, God, it becomes your gateway to whatever God there is. I mean, everybody's got a different idea of who or what God is, if there is one. Whether it's a god or a goddess or a divine form of some kind or another, or an energy or a divine intelligence or whatever you want to call it, whatever you personally believe to be the case, your heart will open the way to it. That's where your responses are.
Well, yeah. when I drew that card, and at the end of the day, when I took it out again, I felt really guilty because when I drew the card, I felt a lot of rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really like my heart was opening up. I mean, being like in tune with my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was reviewing the day, I said, what is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did I feel...
But you know, you can feel, your heart can be wide open to sadness as well as to, and grief as well as to pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
When something really terrible happens, it's possible for the heart to open as well as to contract.
Well, also I think part of it, though, was the connecting that we've been doing with each other. And because, I mean, I've definitely had a similar heart-opening experience. We've had emails from people all over the world, you know, just like finding out or expressing gratitude that we're okay. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And, you know, people in my family that I haven't been in touch with, or friends that I haven't been in touch with in years, and there's just been a coming together and a, I mean, I've just, you know, also just had the experience of wanting to hug people that I just know in passing, because I'm glad that they're still there.
And this includes people from all kinds of countries, all kinds of places, people who have nothing in common with us but tarot, and the love that we have for each other as a community. I mean, people from India, people from Indonesia, people from Ireland, people from all over the place. We don't know them personally, but the feeling is there, and that's like, it's not just an American thing of bonding in the face of some kind of danger, you know, to us as a body politic. It's a feeling of people who are of like mind and whose hearts are open in this matter instead of closed, and they come forward with an open heart. And so from that point of view, the same terrible thing that's happened has somehow catalyzed a group out of the millions and billions that there are, has created a group of people whose hearts are open instead of closed. How that happened, I do not know.
So it's certainly nothing to feel guilty about at all.
No.
No, it's
yeah,
not the power that we have.
It's true. I mean, now that you say that, maybe it's because of I'm connecting with a totally different community.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'm going home to a totally different atmosphere. You know, I started to feel. Well, there's nothing wrong with me. Why am I not angry? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want to take a gun and kill somebody. That's what the environment that I was surrounded with. But I felt so grateful, and, you know, I felt literally that my heart was opening. So I started to feel,
yeah.
Whoa, I'm really, like, in denial.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well,
know.
You know,
absolutely.
I must be like serious denial about what happened.
Right.
But you know, it's funny, the people who are feeling as angry and as contracted as that are also expressing the qualities of the cup. They are doing that too. Because those are also qualities of the cup. The hard and the soft, the open and the closed, the bitter and the loving are all qualities of the cup. And when you look at somebody who is angry and despairing and whatever, they're experiencing a tidal wave of emotions by means of pinching it tight and expressing it in the form of an aggression for fear of what it would be like to be open. But it's still the heart. It's just the heart closing instead of opening. And so you should be aware of that when you see it. And my wish was to use, I couldn't help it, the impact of this last day was so strong on me that I took the chance that you wouldn't mind too much if I used it as a kind of object lesson for this lesson.
You know, Paul, this is the first time I've really had a chance to honestly talk with people about it. It's been so healing for me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to really thank you for that.
You're very welcome. I was hoping that it would be felt like that, because I thought maybe, you know, people would think I was just kind of getting on a hobby horse and, you know, riding it for my own benefit, but I thought maybe it would be useful. How do you guys feel about it in general? I mean, did you... Let me ask you this. I guess this is something that I should know. This was supposed to be a lesson. I mean, granted, it was also a conversation and an exploration and an opening up. But as a lesson, was there anything in it that was useful towards knowing anything at all about the Suit of Cups and these cards in particular?
I think so. And in addition, as I said, the healing that also took place, which is cups.
Mm-hmm.
Cups are healing.
Cups is definitely healing. That is, the heart is healing. In fact, if there's any healing at all, it comes from there. Absolutely.
And as the hierophants that we all are, and the students and the teachers, you've given us something so that not only can we heal, but then all the sentient beings that we touch, we can be able to pass this message along to. So it's so valuable. And like Peggy said, I'm so grateful that we could share this as well.
Well, I'm really very, I feel just totally privileged to be part of this. This group. And one of the things that I would hope is, in addition to all the ramifications, the larger ramifications of this, that when you work with the cards and you turn over the ace or the two or the three or the four of cups, that some sense of what we learned here will actually stick with you, that you'll sense the expansion or the contraction, you'll sense the container or the energy, you'll have a sense of where the heart is in this, and that this is this whole suit and all of its cards are simply different ways of entering the heart. That's the one thing that I would have wished that to happen, that when you turn these cards, that actually occurs to you.
With that thought, Walt, what I kept trying to do when I kept trying to go into the mantra in the last day was also to remember the meditation that you had given us last week. And all I did was get as far as being able to visualize a cup, but you said that in the meditation, I don't remember the name, but that the question and the answer are one of the same. Can you take a couple of minutes and just tell us briefly how we can meditate using that symbol?
Well,
if it's too long, then never mind.
Yeah, well, what I did with that one was, I said to see the cup, to visualize the cup, and to send a thought at it. Just think at it. Any thought you want. And imagine the thought hitting the cup and making a sound. Because the cup is hollow, after all, and even a wooden cup or a plastic cup will make some kind of a sound. And the clearer and cleaner and purer the material of which the cup is made, the more beautiful the sound will be when a thought strikes it. But whatever sound is made will evoke from the bottom of an empty cup the liquid that will fill it. And out of that liquid, when you look into the liquid and when you drink the liquid, you will get two things. You will get whatever question your thought contained, because every thought that you have, I don't care what thought it is, contains some kind of a question. There's a question implicit in every thought. Which, by the way, if once you understand that, will revolutionize your idea about thought. But there's a question in every thought, and the liquid will give you that question. It'll tell you what the question is. The taste of whatever comes up in the cup by being pinged with it will give you the answer as well as the question. So both the question and the answer are contained in the liquid that is created by the thought that bounces off the cup. And so if you ever wish to understand yourself, think at the cup. Produce the cup in your mind. See it. Hold it in some way. Or just see it floating there. And think at it. Oh, I'd like a nice new Corvette. I'd like a nice shiny new whatever. I would like a new boyfriend. I could use a new home. I can't stand this job. When am I going to get out of it? Oh, Solomio. Whatever thought you have, it doesn't make any difference. Think at it. And when the thought bounces off the cup will fill with a liquid that will give you both the question and the answer. And you'll learn something that you never knew before.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, guys, I think we probably... this is sort of the end of things now. And we've come to the point where does anybody have any questions?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't have a computer. Can you give me the bridge number for next week?
The bridge number for next week will be the same as this week.
Really?
Yep. There are four lessons to this particular group. The first three, which includes next week.
Okay, so next week is not changing. Okay.
Next week is not changing. The week after that, there's a different number, but not this week.
Okay.
Good. So, are there any other questions, practical or otherwise?
I just think tonight, as a group, the synergy and the whole, that the light that we shared with one another, that is going to make some impact. And for that, I'm so grateful for myself and for everybody else, that we guys now, we have to just turn up our light as much as we can, and again, just face that evil, and with our light and love.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Powerful.
I would hope. In fact, it would be kind of an interesting thing to do, to take whatever card you drew tonight and just kind of keep it out of your deck. Keep it where you can see it. Ponder it. Let it open some kind of an entry. Remember, you filled that card with your feelings. It is a cup that holds your feelings, and those feelings will not diminish. The cup will not let them go if you allow the cup to stand. And if you want to contemplate that card in the light of your feelings and all the feelings that you put into it, you will probably get a great deal more out of it over the next few days than you've gotten out of it so far tonight. So if you can do that, that would be great. And next week I'll ask if anybody has accomplished that and see if it led anywhere. Of course it might not, but we'll see. Any other comments or insights or questions before we go?
I just want to say that, I mean, I've been doing that with the Queen of Pentacles,
mm-hmm.
and I just, I mean, it's like a life-changing experience what looking, holding, and meditating upon a card can do for a person. I mean, it just has reaffirmed my commitment to the tarot in ways that you will not believe.
I am certainly
so
delighted.
Is this a good card to look at for the next few days?
I would think so. I would think that there is, you know what the principle of synchronicity is?
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of what it means?
Yeah.
I mean, because
define
it for everybody as best as I know it anyway, just in case there's a difference of understanding. Synchronicity is simply an accident, what is normally perceived as a coincidence or an accident that has meaning for you. It's a meaning-filled coincidence. And when you draw a card like this, even though it was a random draw, and therefore could be said to be something of an accident, because of the intention behind the drawing, and because of the meaning that you imbue it with, it's no accident. So you drew this card in response to a particularly difficult, dangerous, delicate matter, which is far from resolved. The echoes and ripples of the events of the last couple of days will go running through the whole world for years to come. So pondering the meaning of it and whatever you can get in the way of prediction from it over the next few days will certainly not, you know, become out of date. Also, remembering that in addition to prediction, you can also gain understanding and a course of action. Try those as well. See if the card suggests to you anything that you can do, as well as whatever it reveals to you in the way of knowledge and understanding. And if you write any of that down, you may find it useful. And it will certainly make the cards themselves, that particular card and maybe this whole group of five, seem much richer and more powerful than it did a few minutes ago. They're not just pieces of paper with pictures on them. So anyway, with that cheerful thought, I think we'll wrap it up, and we'll see you guys all next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And don't forget also, if anybody has any comments, questions, or things to talk about, you can always call and you know, talk privately. So talk to you all soon.
Be well.
Thank you.
We love you.
Bye.
Good night.